Welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and we're here every Tuesday at noon, live on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. And we can do this thanks to the generosity of Windermere Vashon Real Estate. They support all our community information programming, and they make our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com. Well, today's topic is climate change, and it's getting more and more urgent. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report states that we must take immediate and unprecedented greenhouse gas emission reductions to avoid seeing catastrophic climate events as soon as 2030. On Monday, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services reported, "We are eroding the very foundations of our economies, livelihoods, food security, health, and quality of life worldwide. Around 1 million species face extinction, many within decades." I think that includes the human race. On March 25th, the International Energy Agency released findings that global energy consumption increased by 2.3%. Most of the demand was met by burning fossil fuel, prompting Stanford University Earth System Science Professor Rob Jackson to say, "The climate consequences are catastrophic. We don't use any word like that very often, but we are headed for disaster, and nobody seems to be able to slow things down. Climate scientists are finally screaming at the top of their lungs for us to act." And I have with me today Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
He is a board member of the Vashon Climate Action Group and has been working very closely with all these terrifying notions as the window of opportunity to turn the boat around keeps getting smaller and smaller. So, Kevin, tell us what we're seeing right now.
Well, right now, you know, we can see not only the scientific reports, but we can see with our own eyes and breathe with our own noses smoke-filled summers. We can see the challenge that increasingly large wildfires, just in the last decade, you know, a marked increase in terms of the number of fires and the size of the fires. And I just saw earlier this week, late last week, that our weather patterns are now setting up what they're already calling a potentially catastrophic wildfire season for us in Washington this summer. So it's not really a mystery anymore that this is an issue that that really demands our attention.
And it's not a hoax.
No, it's not propagated by the Chinese. There are really no economic downsides to dealing with the climate issues. Matter of fact, there's a colleague of mine in this battle that says we're on really the worst economic plan we could have right now. Digging stuff up out of the ground to burn it and poison our atmosphere to the point we cannot live on the planet is really not the path we want to be on. So
how do we incentivize those large corporations and maybe even the military industrial complex who are causing these damages, who are promulgating the continued use of fossil fuels? How do we incentivize them to do something different?
Well, I think you do it one step at a time and one sort of company at a time or one opportunity, because the problem, you know, there's a lot of contributors to the problem. So we need to pick carefully where we want to put our energy. But you know, we have the opportunity to get rid of carbon in real positive, concrete actions. And anyone listening today can take action to make our planet more supportive of life on Earth. And the fantastic opportunity we have is this convergence of this our utility Puget Sound Energy right now. Mm-hmm. We have a tremendous opportunity right now to influence their future path of how they deliver energy to us.
Tell us how they deliver energy to us now and how you'd like to see them change that.
Well, it's most people are surprised. Every time you use electricity from Puget Sound Energy, 69% of that electricity comes from fossil fuels. And that is a startling number to most people.
Sure, most people think we're on hydropower.
And about 25% of Puget Sound Energy's electricity comes from hydro. Most of the public utility districts in the state get 98% or more. Like Seattle City Light has maybe a 2% carbon footprint for what they produce. Yes. And so that's awesome. Same with Tacoma, their public utility district. But we have the benefit of Puget Sound Energy, which hasn't gotten on that path. And but we really do want them to go carbon free. I see it as of many, many things that we can do. This is what I think is the most impactful and immediate change for improvement that I have been able to identify. And the wonderful news is that we've done a lot so far to make a big difference.
We being whom?
We being people on Vashon, for one, but the main focus has been what we call the Carbon-Free Puget Sound Energy Campaign. it's part of the Vashon Climate Action Group. And so that group has been working for 2.5 years, and this campaign has yielded some pretty good results so far.
Tell us what those are.
We talked with the regulator, the Utilities and Transportation Commission, and they came out in 2017 and said that Puget Sound Energy really needs to account for their carbon pollution. So that was a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't, not in all cases, the way they framed that conversation was not for everything. But we worked also with the Attorney General's office. They have a public counsel unit, which represents us, you and I, as Puget Sound Energy customers, because we can't all go lobby the utility. So they represent us. And there were two letters that came out from Bob Ferguson's office, also supporting putting a price on carbon pollution. And then the amazing thing that has happened this year is a huge success in the 2019 Washington State legislative session, where we have now what's called the 100% Clean Electricity Bill, which was signed into law by Governor Inslee on May 7th. And it, basically what it does a couple of things. It causes Puget Sound Energy to remove all coal-based electricity from their portfolio by 2025, 6 years from now.
Is that soon enough?
That is, sooner's better. But we have been working to this outcome for 2 years, and we're really gratified to see the legislation in place now to make it happen. Colstrip is in Montana. It's the 11th most polluting coal plant in the nation. And so we're talking about that alone is like 3.8 million cars that you take off the road that never get back on the road.
You know, I'm just curious how it is that Puget Sound Energy actually got away with using coal this long when apparently all the other energy companies in the state are not using coal.
Well, there is a limit to hydropower and how much you can have. And there is a reliability requirement that the utility has to meet to make sure the lights have to stay on. And that's important to all of us. And particularly in the wintertime, the heat has to stay on so that we don't freeze, obviously. But we have seen recently that renewable energy costs are much, much more affordable now than coal, and they're even more affordable than gas for creating electricity. And even renewable energy with storage, so you're buying like a solar panel plus batteries to store, that is even now cheaper than fossil fuel solutions. But Puget Sound Energy does have an institutional bias challenge they have to get over. They go with what they know. Their CEO is the chair of the American Gas Association that may have something to do with it. we need to make sure that we all see the path and that Puget Sound Energy can get on that path in a way that continues to deliver reliable, affordable energy. And many, many studies and many bids are now showing that that's a very viable path to be on.
So Puget Sound Energy could become a leader by replacing their coal usage with renewable energy. Are we talking solar energy primarily?
Wind and solar. Uh-huh. They have received a lot of information about where they can find those resources, right? We do have wind, of course, in eastern Washington, right. Solar in eastern Washington. It turns out that in Montana, there's a wonderful wind resource that peaks in the winter when our peak demand is. And not only that, the folks in Colstrip, a town in Montana, when their coal plant eventually closes, will need to find other employment options. So it helps with the transition as well, to not just put people out of work.
Oh, that's wonderful. So is that to say that Puget Sound may even, PSE, may even have a bit of a head start on the infrastructure in order to replace their use of coal with solar or with alternative energy?
Well, we think they do. There is, of course, a transmission line already that brings that electricity over from Montana. There's a little bit of a concern in that when we met the other day with Puget Sound Energy's representatives, they did talk about how much new transmission resource, how many power lines they need to build. Well, I'm not quite sure that I understand why, given that the power lines are there right now taking coal-based electricity from Colstrip and delivering it to our light fixtures here in Washington today. So, but they do make it the point that they, with the idea behind renewable energy is the wind doesn't always blow in one place and the sun doesn't always shine in one place, but you can be guaranteed you got wind and sun somewhere. So you do have to reach out to more geographic locations so that you have that kind of diversity to make sure that you do have the reliability. The energy grids, the cooperation of multiple utilities that exist today is a path in that direction. And that's the challenge now, is to make sure to work with Puget Sound Energy so that they understand not only what it is that we want as consumers, but we also bring the technical knowledge that this isn't, they're not the only leaders out there. There's a lot of utilities who have walked down this road. And there's no reason that Puget Sound Energy can't keep up with them on this transition.
Is there any chance that these other utilities or that Puget Sound Energy would cooperate with these other utilities? For instance, can they, like telecommunications companies share lines, share transmission? Could Puget Sound Energy's initial costs in this transition period be somehow mitigated if they were able to cooperate with other more forward-leaning utility companies?
Well, there is cooperation already that occurs. Yeah. So, when we have high resources in the Northwest from hydro, say during spring runoff, before you have, say, the sunny season in Southern California, we have some excess power to sell. When in the middle of the summer in Southern California, in the middle of the day, they have more electricity than they know what to do with. Well, we might be a sink for that, a consumer of that product. So there is sharing today on the grid.
So what is it that you folks are doing in addition to working with the legislators? How can our listeners have a similar impact? How can our listeners impact this change and begin to make a difference in the carbon emissions that happen now, not 2025?
So there's a number of areas that we're focusing on. We've talked a lot about the electricity business, and that fundamentally is to participate in conversations where more of our legislators can hear what we're talking about. Puget Sound Energy holds meetings. There's going to be one on May 22nd, which is going to be particularly valuable in Bellevue. And that is an opportunity. They call it a listening session. So that's where we can ask people to go and say, here's the kind of electricity that I want. So not only PSE listens to that, but the regulators are at those meetings and the legislators hear about what comes out of those meetings as well.
So they can have a little push on PSE.
Absolutely.
A little more leverage.
Right. And the other aspect is the gas business that Puget Sound Energy has, which is also quite extensive. So right now, they used to be able to get gas out of the ground because it was part of a byproduct, right, of pulling oil out of the ground.
Oh.
Well, now when that didn't work as well, then fracking came along.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the problem with fracking is that it's disruptive in a lot of ways. You hear about earthquakes, you know, groundwater pollution. I mean, there's a lot of environmental negatives to it. But another negative is that it tends to really dramatically increase the amount of leakage of methane into the atmosphere.
Yes.
And the problem with methane, it's a much more powerful greenhouse gas than burning the methane or burning the gas to create electricity. And you know, the carbon dioxide, which comes from combustion, is not nearly as powerful as methane. So what we're doing right now is we're looking at creating a new focus, which we're calling Beyond Fossil Gas. That is a term that might change as we go forward, but it's responding to Vice President of Puget Sound Energy, David Mills, who's the person who will be at the May 22nd listening session, by the way. He recounts a story on a freezing cold December day in 2009 when he had an epiphany when his gas pipeline compressors were freezing up. They couldn't move the gas in the pipe. Customers were running out of gas. And he said his epiphany was, we need more gas. And I'm watching this video thinking, wait a minute, you just told me your compressors are freezing up. You can't move this product through the pipelines when it gets cold. And you're saying we need more of this? I would think the epiphany would be that this system really kind of sucks. So we need to, instead of doubling down on gas, we need to look at how do we get from gas to electric. Because electricity doesn't freeze up in the wires, right, in the middle of the wintertime. Electricity doesn't explode when it comes in contact with a match.
Yes,
so,
right.
And there's a bunch of stuff that people can do to help PSE move out of the gas business. And what we're doing right now is we're sort of educating ourselves to say, okay, where do we use gas right now? And how much? And we're talking about like residential, commercial, industrial, and subsectors like, you know, clothes drying and water heating and things like that, right? All the stuff
we know. What does it take to turn that around?
Well, and that's exactly the question, is what are the influencers? Okay, so we had in 2019, this session, a clean appliance bill, which will help to reduce it's mainly electricity. But those are some of the influencers, right, that would say, how do I create legislation, regulations that would move people away from gas to electric? And things like, you know, gas cooktops are very favored by people who own them. But we're also hearing about induction cooktops, which are pretty awesome. We're also hearing about ways that are more efficient, say, for water heating heat pump water heating, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And
there's
powered by electricity?
That is powered by electricity. And there's also some advances in clothes drying, which is another big use. So the idea is and there are incentives, right? So like I have an electric lawnmower. I have now the second one I bought, and I bought it because it was a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't buy a gas lawnmower after the old one broke. I went and bought an electric one. So if we can move people in this direction, we can create this kind of a shift. And so we're looking at where is the gas used? What are the influences? Like in home heating, more homes mean more gas use, right?
Yeah.
Unless you have building codes and more efficient buildings, which also passed in the Washington legislature, which I think is more targeted to, say, commercial and industrial. But there's things that cause gas use to go up and down. And what we want to do is have more of the influences that push it down. And so we're gathering that data. And then we're going to take a look at which of those influences could we achieve, right? Affordability, timeliness, acceptable to the public. In other words, we don't want to have to move people out of their existing homes, obviously, but can we make an economically viable conversion to your existing home and some of its appliances to actually improve your home's resale value, improve your comfort in the home, and basically also help the climate at the same time.
Are there financial incentives that can be provided now to people, encouraging them to, say, change out their gas dryer for an electric dryer or furnace?
There, I don't know the specifics on that, but I do know that I was just talking to a colleague the other day who's talked about an electric vehicle, $30,000 car you can have for $20,000 when you add the state and the federal tax incentives to that.
Really?
Yes. So we're looking specifically for not only what those existing opportunities are, mm-hmm. but where we can create that opportunity that may not exist today that would have that effect. And so we're collecting data, we're doing research, we're you know, getting out and talking to other people who know about these systems so that we can then put everything into what we're calling a decision framework, right? So these are the things that are like, is it affordable, quick, and acceptable? That's going to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Things that need a 10-year research and development, new technology, you know, those, we can't really wait for that. So what are the things that we could really do now? And so we're looking for people to be involved in helping us with the research and helping us look at alternatives and helping us sort of frame this whole beyond fossil gas campaign to see where it makes sense for us to really put our energy and then team up with, there's also outreach to other environmental groups like Sierra Club, 350, the Washington Environmental Council and others to say, hey, are these areas that we can team up with your advocates who are no longer dealing with getting rid of coal because the legislation just helped us do that. Maybe this is an area we need to move into now.
Getting rid of gas.
Focusing on gas.
That sounds a whole lot harder. How many volunteers do you need and how do they join you?
Well, so the best way to get involved is to come to our Vashon Climate Action Group meeting on May 19th. So that's a Sunday. It's going to be at 1:00 at Vashon Co-Housing. Right now we have sort of three core team members and five others who said they'd like to contribute their technical knowledge. There's room for 15 or 20 even 30 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're doing all this research, you need a lot of folks.
Right. And you know, this is something that is tackling a problem which is really significant, and you don't have to leave Vashon to do it, right? And it's it's way bigger than turn off the lights when you brush your teeth, although that's important. You know, we're like
turn
I
off
say,
the water when you brush your teeth.
That too.
You turn off the lights when you brush your teeth. You might miss something.
Well, I can do it with my eyes closed.
You can, yeah. But,
right.
Your teeth have been there for a long time.
They have been there for a while. Yeah, I'm kind of used to where they're at. But the idea that every step is so important, but we are striving to find the biggest step we can take for the amount of energy we put into it to get the biggest outcome. So that's the first place to go. And so we'll have a discussion about the existing carbon-free campaign. We'll have a discussion about beyond a fossil gas. And we'll ask other people who have ideas, right, about what's really important for us to move in on this path. Then the next thing, if you go to that same meeting, we will talk about the listening session in Bellevue on the 22nd. And that's
where... this is with Puget Sound Energy.
This is Puget Sound Energy's meeting. There's a rally now at 4, so there'll be some creative artwork. There'll be signs. I don't know all the details yet, but I'm looking forward to the artful activism sort
yes.
of activity. And then starting at 4:30 is the actual meeting where Puget Sound Energy is going to talk about the new law and how they're going to deal with it. And that's the time we need to start planting the seeds of what we want to see for change with this legislative backup now that we have. And then a week later on the 29th, there's actually another meeting where three of us from Vashon are technical advisors to Puget Sound Energy's 20-year plan. And we'll go to a meeting on the 29th to reinforce all of those statements that got made on the 22nd. So it's really important for people to come out and sort of set the stage and set the tone, you know, for what we want the utility to do.
What if I don't have the time, can't get away to go to meetings? What can I do?
So I think the best way is we've set up an email address It's vclimateaction@gmail.com. So it's like Vashon Climate Action without the A-S-H-O-N.
Right.
So vclimateaction. That's a way to reach out to us and let us know that you're interested. We have a Vashon Climate Action Group Facebook page that's fairly easy to find. And so you could communicate with us that way. But the email address is probably the best way to let us know that you'd like to be involved. If you can make it to the meeting on the 19th, of course, at co-housing, then that's convenient and local. But hopefully people have that Sunday afternoon available.
What if I can't go to any meetings? What if I don't have time to go to meetings? How can I have an impact on reducing carbon emissions?
Well, there are many, many things we can do, say, in our own homes, but it's the a home energy audit by Puget Sound Energy. If you haven't done that, it's super simple. It's free. They'll come out and basically free is good. They'll take all your incandescent light bulbs away and put in new LED light bulbs. Lighting, by the way, is an amazingly big footprint. I was talking to a friend who had just on their boat changed out all of their incandescent bulbs with LED bulbs, and his literally like a 80% drop in his lighting electricity
and
requirements.
And that would be a battery usage on the boat?
On the boat, it's, well, unless you're shore power, but yeah, out of a battery, but you know, shore power or a generator to charge it, or alternator on the engine. But the idea that what's happening is lighting is really a much bigger piece of home energy use than I thought when
that
I started doing this
big,
work.
That is big, because a lot of folks think, oh, it's just a light. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. What's one little light?
80% difference.
No, well, he said 80% difference. That's strictly the amount of efficiency he got in his lighting.
Ah.
Now, total home energy, it's probably a lighting, don't quote me on this, but I think it's somewhere in the 25 to 35% range.
That's significant.
Yeah. And I thought for, you know, heating up water and clothes drying and all that stuff, which are also big users, and heating the home itself. Yeah. That amount for lighting seemed sort of higher than I expected.
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah. And I'd have to do the research to get the exact.
So LED light bulbs, and you can have a Puget Sound Energy audit free in your home.
Yes, and that's you go to their website, or you give them a call, and on your bill, you know, they'll have a number. You can give them a call and sign up for that. The other thing which I want to make sure people know about who have a climate interest is on June 3rd, there's going to be a Vashon Town Hall.
Yes.
And you will be moderating the town hall, so I appreciate you doing that.
Full disclosure.
Absolutely. But we have invited and got confirmation for Senator Wynn and Representative Cody, and we had confirmation from Representative Fitzgibbon. We hope he can still make it, although the latest thing we heard is his travel plans have now gotten to where he may not be able personally to be there.
Yeah, hopefully he'll send a representative.
We really are hoping that somebody there. But we know that Senator Wynn is a huge climate activist as well. So, but that's an opportunity to not only thank them for the work they did in 2019, and Eileen Cody is chair of the House Healthcare Committee, so that's not a small issue for us either. But not only to thank them, but to hear what they have in mind for next year. Now that we have a more progressive legislature, there's room for more opportunities. And also there, how can people like you and I get more of those progressive wins in 2020, which is going to really help us on many of these other fronts.
Kevin Jones of the Vashon Climate Action Group, I am so grateful for your coming here to tell us hopeful news about how we can fight negative climate change. And, you know, I know we get tired, but you have a comment here in the material you sent me, and I want people to hear this last thing. Climate change is not someone else's problem. It is a sustainable life on Earth problem. This is all hands on deck. We cannot hide behind the low carbon benefits of hydropower, but we can be happy that we've not made things that much worse. Let's do everything we can. I know you get tired, but it's about human life and all other life on the planet. You've been listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday at noon, Friday at 6 p.m. We look for questions, big and small, and experts to explore some of those questions with us. So if you've got a question, send it to me at realtalk@voiceofvashon.org. Thanks for listening.